Welcome back to Hero Talk with Talix and Shrev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
And today we're doing a special episode. Just because Martin Luther King's birthday just passed, I feel that we needed to do some stuff kind of dealing with real heroes in real life, as well as the fictional heroes that we usually cover. So I think it's going to be kind of fun. And I think we can also do something whenever we come around to Black History Month, too, talking about some more heroes in that capacity. But today is all about Martin Luther King. So you ready to get this going?
Yep.
All right, let's go.
The first fact that we're going to talk about is that MLK was born in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, definitely born in Atlanta, Georgia. And there are three specific places in which Martin Luther King had some significant, you know, effects. And those three places have some real relevance between both you and I. And we're going to talk about all of those today. One of the things that I wanted to talk about starting off was that he was born in a time where Jim Crow laws were around. Do you know what Jim Crow laws are?
I heard of them.
Well, tell me what you heard.
There were laws that didn't really make sense.
Yeah, they were laws that didn't make sense. They were basically laws that didn't allow black and white people to have the same kind of rights and stuff. And so, in essence, it segregated people. So, it's saying that, you know, like for us to be black, we couldn't hang out with, like, if we had white friends or had white people that we hung out with, we couldn't hang out with them and go to the same places that they went to. Even though slavery itself was over, it wasn't until extremely recently that a lot of the laws that still kept people separated or segregated were still in the place. And so, like, some of the rights, like, to be able to vote and stuff like that, weren't, everybody didn't have that ability. And just for, if we're talking about Martin Luther King, like, he couldn't play with his best friend no more when he was 6 years old because his father said that he didn't want his kid to be playing with any black kids anymore. And so that's, how do you feel about that? What do you think that sounds like?
Trash.
Okay. So trash, what else? Like, what are you thinking about it, though?
It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense?
No. So, you can have friends, but then you can't hang out with them. It makes no sense.
Right. And it's just because of the way they look. It doesn't make any sense to not be able to hang around with somebody just because of the way they look, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't change who they are. They're still the same person. So, that really doesn't make sense.
And the next thing is that he helped in the Montgomery boycott thingy.
Yeah, it was after somebody got arrested. Who got arrested?
Rosa Parks.
Do you know why she got arrested?
I can't remember. Was it because she was sitting in the front of the bus?
Yes, that was it. Because she was sitting in the front of the bus and somebody told her to get up and to move to the back. And she refused to do that. And in doing so, and that's what I was saying, like in some of the situations where people were segregated, they couldn't sit where they wanted to on the bus. So imagine you sitting on the bus and somebody saying, hey, you got to get up and go to the back of the bus because I want to sit here. And them being able to call the police to have the police come and arrest you because you didn't want to get up. You were tired. You worked a long day. You were tired. And you didn't want to move. And that's what you had to do. And so, and also as a second aside, we do realize that Rosa Parks wasn't the first individual to do that. But for the sake of the context of we're talking about Martin Luther King, then his reaction to that using the Montgomery boycott of the buses is what we're kind of focusing on. So we don't want to erase anybody's contributions to history because that's something that is a lot of different things. Because that, I mean, we're going to get to Rosa Parks and stuff like that when we're talking about like Black History and Black History Month, but imagine how brave that is. Like to be able to say, no, I'm not going, when you know they're going to call the police and you know that the police could do anything that they wanted to at that time and it really not be any consequences for their actions. So that has to be a lot of, that you have to be super brave to do that. And so the way that Martin Luther King protested was a peaceful protest. And he kind of modeled those after Mahatma Gandhi. And what's up? You got something?
Yes, we learned about him today in Gifted.
Okay, talk about it.
Well, he did make some sort of speech. Or it was some famous quote. I remember the quote, too.
Okay, go with it.
You must be the change that you wish to see in the world.
Okay, so what does that mean?
That you can change, I don't know.
You know. Basically, it's what it is. It says, like you said, like, you got to be the change that you want to see in the world, right? So you have to show people the way that you want the world to be, right? And so if you want to be an honorable person, or if you want to live by having virtue, or if you want to be a fair person, then you got to show people that. And once you show people that, people can emulate or follow what it is that you do. And so in that way, changing the world is by changing ourselves to be better. And then we change the people around us and they change the people around them. It's kind of like a ripple effect, like a wave that kind of goes out from you into the people around you. So that was an excellent job.
Yay.
All right, pop quiz. What's the name of one of his famous speeches?
I Have a Dream.
Cool. I Have a Dream was delivered in 1963 when he led the March on Washington. And I Have a Dream is basically a speech talking about what he hopes for America because of some of the stuff that he saw when he was younger, growing up, and still he saw at that time. He saw a lot of people having to deal with being treated unfairly. And he wanted America to be a place to where that's not something that would happen, where this would be distant past. And that's some of the stuff that we still deal with and nowadays in the world today. It's something the stuff is a lot of inequalities and stuff that we got to continue to work for and continue to fight for. Did you get anything out of the whole My I Have a Dream speech?
Well, I know the speech and I memorize it and planned on doing it for something at school, but after the month that I remember it, I just forgot it.
Well, that's okay. We can re-remember it and reutilize it in something else. It doesn't always have to just go away once you remember it once.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in October of 1964. That's not that far ago. That's about 40, 50 years ago. That's not that far ago. And also, the Civil Rights Act passed in that year. So think about it. The Jim Crow laws ended 99 years after slavery. So slavery is 99 years out from 60 years. So it was about a good 160 years ago people were being enslaved and stuff like that. And that's something that we got to kind of realize. It's not that long ago. So we've made progress, but it's a lot more progress that needs to be made. And it's a lot more development that needs to be made. And it's a lot more education. And it's a lot more development that we got to do to kind of have people kind of understand stuff. Like me and you, we work on stuff. We talk about stuff. We learn stuff all the time. But everybody doesn't learn stuff in the way that we always do. And so it's important to be able to learn about that stuff and to develop that stuff and put it out there so other people can kind of learn from us and try to be a better people around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So what happened in 1968?
Well, he went to a hotel and earlier last year, probably around February, I went to Memphis and I saw
the Lorraine Hotel.
Yes, it was a museum.
Right, so they turned it into a museum now so people can kind of learn about, where he passed and stuff. And so the Moraine Motel was one of the places, well, not one of the places, where the place that he was assassinated at. And that's where he ended up.
Yeah,
no, I slipped up when I was talking. But it was the place that he was assassinated at. And I think that was important to kind of think about, three of the major places that Martin Luther King has important things in: the place where he was born, Atlanta, basically where we're at now, the place where he passed away, Memphis, where you were born at.
Yay!
And Montgomery, Alabama is right up the street from where I'm from when I was growing up. And so it's like a lot of things in Martin Luther King's life kind of like revolve around stuff or whatever. And so like another important thing to kind of look at is his work so far as to work on like getting stuff desegregated, because I went to the University of Alabama. And in 1963 was the first time, well, that, well, 1964 was the first time that black people were allowed to go to the University of Alabama. Yeah, not that far ago. It, before then, like, if I was born in 1940, just say 1940, and I grow up, and it's 1958, and I'm trying to go to the University of Alabama, I can't go. Just because I'm black. And so his contributions directly affect our lives today. Like his work, the things that he's done, the bravery that he's shown in being able to go out and do protests, because a lot of people didn't like his protests. A lot of people still don't like protests to this day. And they were mean. They hit him with stuff. They used dogs. They used fire hydrants. They used bricks. They did
water hose.
Yeah, they did everything that they possibly could to try to stop people from protesting. But the reason he was protesting was to give people better lives, to benefit people like you and me, to be able to do stuff like this, for me and you to be able to even have this podcast and to be able to talk to different people all across the world, just to be able to do this. That's one of the things that he fought for. And so I thought that it was really important for us to just kind of take a second to sit back, talk about it for a second, and just appreciate that the superhero that Martin Luther King was, and we greatly appreciate what he's done in the world. And we hope that everybody just takes some time to appreciate what he's done. And we just kind of want to move on from there. Did you have any reflection so far as to how he affected your life or some of the stuff that you feel that he's allowed you to do in your life?
Yes.
Okay, talk about it.
I wouldn't be able to get a pogo stick.
Yeah, depends on what store you went to. Yeah.
Yeah, because people wouldn't allow us to work. So if I got it from anywhere, then they wouldn't let me buy one.
Well, not so much they wouldn't let you buy one. It was just like we'd have to buy it from certain stores. And it depend on the store might not have a pogo stick or something like that. But one of the main things is also like being able to buy stuff means that you actually need to be able to get a job in a certain situation. And certain jobs that people have, like what I do, like probably wouldn't be available in the same capacity. And so it's really important to kind of look back at that and everything like that. So we just kind of wanted to do a special episode to drop this in the middle of your week. Martin Luther King's birthday was on Monday. So happy birthday, Martin Luther King. And
he's 84.
We wanted to kind of just make sure that we reached out and said that. We wanted to say thank you and kind of move on that. We're going to get back to our regular scheduled podcast coming out. So let's wrap this up, because this has been Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
Because when there's a hero,
we talk.
That's right.
Happy 84th birthday.
Yes.